Morning. Okay. Tonight, what I want to do is just spend a really quick amount of time. Really, what we're going to do is close up our Road to the Cross series, basically because we have been in a series, Road to the Cross, where we've gone through these final days of Jesus, where we did the Last Supper, being in Gethsemane, and before Pilate and everything like that. Well, then it ends on the cross, which is what we talk about with Good Friday. And I want to make sure we remember that, because it can be a tendency to just kind of gloss over Good Friday as we try to get to Easter Sunday. So I don't want to do that. I want us to remember Good Friday and what it's about. And today we're going to really talk a lot about what we should do with Good Friday. How do we respond to what happened, to the crucifixion, and to what happened on the cross? So that's what I want us to do tonight. So we are going to read just a few verses. It is on the flip side of your song sheet. I will read it, so don't take your hands out of your gloves or your pockets. Stay warm. You don't have to flip it over and follow along. I will read it. Hi, Eliana. And I will read it here for you, so it'll be all good. Mark 15, 33 through 39. I'll read it. We'll talk just a little bit about it, and we'll keep going. All right, so Mark 15, 33 through 39 says this. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. He says this in Aramaic, but it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. So that is our passage from Mark that kind of ties up our road to the cross. So this is the death of Jesus, obviously, but it is no ordinary death. The unfortunate thing is that we are kind of confronted with death every day. We hear about it. People pass away. People die, whether it's family members or friends or just people we hear about in the media. Who was it this week? Gilbert Gottfried, the comedian, passed away. We've heard a number of those that have passed away. But this one wasn't ordinary. The trial wasn't ordinary. The condemnation, all the people watching all of this happen is not ordinary. Even Jesus being able to shout that last word, whether it's in the Gospel of Luke, it says, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit, or John's famous words saying, it is finished. Whatever he's able to say is not ordinary. He shouldn't have been able to speak at this time. Being up on the cross, everything completely just spent in him and broken, but he's still able to yell out. So it's his final words, his final breath that he's able to muster, and then he dies. So I want us to look tonight quickly at how we would respond to the death of Jesus. Now, usually, if somebody we know passes away or dies, there's mourning, there's remembrance. You hear the phrase, a celebration of life, sometimes in lieu of a funeral, which is great. So we remember these people. Sometimes we celebrate them. But as we said earlier, this was not a normal death. This is a death that brought us back from an eternity in hell by putting our sins on Jesus' shoulders and then in turn on the cross. So I think we respond a little differently. So maybe we can think of responding with gratitude or with humility. But the one I want to look at tonight is really responding with repentance. Really repenting for what we've done and what Jesus brought us back from. So repentance being an act or a process of changing one's mind or the turning the course of one's life towards God. So we repent of our sins or stop the behavior that we're doing because it doesn't honor or reflect God, reflect the character of God, or please God at all. But when you think about repenting, it's more than just stopping and saying sorry to God, which is how I always kind of used to think about it. I'm just going to stop whatever I'm doing that I wasn't supposed to do and say, God, sorry, I'll never do that again. But I want us to take that a step further because that's, I think, only the first part of repentance. Because if you think of it that way, it's really just like a stop sign, right? We just stop. But I think repentance is really more of a U-turn. It's actually turning around and going away from the direction of sin, going back towards God. It's stopping, but turning around back towards God. So if sin is behavior that moves us away from God, going this way, we're going away, repentance actually would bring us back to God. It's going to God in those moments, asking him for forgiveness, to be our strength, to be our forgiveness, to be our grace. you know, it's more than just closing a browser or putting a drink down or holding your tongue or anything like that. It's actually going to God in those moments and asking Him to help. But if we think about it, if we just stop, when we just stop, eventually we have to start moving again. So I want to think about this. Think about sin as going down a hill and then coming to God back up a hill. That's difficult, right? I am a runner, or used to be a little bit more than I am now. There's hills right over here. I've run these hills. I've run all sorts of hills. I used to, when we lived in Middleton, right after we got married, when I was actually in shape, I would go out and just, I would run and kind of get lost in a neighborhood. That's how I would get my miles in. I would kind of just make myself lost. And I remember at one point, I don't know where I was, and I literally was lost this time. And I'm starting to fatigue. The legs are getting tired. I'm like, Stacy's got to be wondering where the heck I am. She's about to come out looking for me. And I come to a hill, naturally. And now, going down the hill seemed really inviting, and it's easy. You're taught as a runner, you kind of let the hill do the work for you. You kind of let it carry you down the hill. And I'm like, okay, that looks inviting, but man, if that's the wrong direction and I got to go back up this hill, it's really, really going to suck. All right, it's going to be hard, and it's just not going to be something I want to do. But even worse, if I get going halfway down and I just stop, turning around is also really hard because my momentum just wants me to keep going down the hill. So if we think about sin as going that downhill and away from God, it can be easier, a lot easier sometimes. It can a lot of times be more fun and more the direction that we really want to go, but it separates us from God. It takes us down that hill and away from God. So we're supposed to go back up, because if we just stop, tendency will be to keep going down the hill rather than back towards God. So let's think about doing the work to actually move back up the hill to God. I mean, think about running back up a hill is hard, and running up a hill in any scenario is difficult. But then we think about the fact that Jesus carried our sins and our burdens with the cross up a hill to die for us. That was even harder. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what we're talking about and remembering today with the crucifixion. So again, I want us to see repentance as actually turning around and going back towards God. Not just stopping, but an active thing of turning around and going back and moving away from our sins, because Jesus paid the price for these sins, and that's what we're remembering tonight. We don't have to keep going that way. We don't have to keep going down the hill. There is another way to go. So I think we really want to pick that way and go back up the hill towards God.